Well, good evening. It's great to be with you all. I don't know whether sometimes you think that people up here have it all sorted. I know I've got a bit of a reputation of being an organised person and liking everything just so. Well, I just need to tell you before we start that life isn't always all together and sorted. This last week, starting last Sunday, I have had a catalogue of disasters. Last Sunday, I had four creme brulees on a tray. Not one of them made it to the dining table. I couldn't even rescue them because they were in glass ramekins and all four smashed. That was Sunday. Tuesday, I arrived here at 8:15 and I didn't notice till 10:40 I was wearing odd boots. They were both black, but they were quite different, and I didn't feel any difference until, of course, I noticed. And once I noticed that, I was very aware that I'd got odd boots on. Wednesday, I broke a pot in the kitchen at lunch break. Thursday morning, I dropped Emily off at school and said, "Don't forget your orthodontist appointment. I'll pick you up 1:20. At 1:30, I got a phone call. "Are you coming?" I forgot to go and get Emily. Today, I've broken another glass. So, just so that you know, we're not perfect, and I don't have all my life together. That, fortunately, isn't a usual week in my life, and I hope it's now ended, but that's what this last week's been like. Anyway, now to tonight. I don't know about you, but it always makes me chuckle when on police programmes, detective things, they say, "Where were you 3 weeks ago on Wednesday?" or "Where were you on the 10th of December?" And somehow they seem to know. Well, I don't always know where I was yesterday, as my last week will bear out. But I can tell you exactly where I was 4 weeks ago today. I was here. It was Easter Sunday. So I was here leading the 8:00 service, and then I was here celebrating Easter throughout the day with all of you. And I'm sure many of you are already thinking, 4 weeks ago since Easter, it can't be. And I'm beginning to realise that it's true. Time does fly the older you get, because I'm now thinking, gosh, it really was just 4 weeks since Easter. Soon as Christmas comes, it then becomes Easter, doesn't it? I was told that there was Easter eggs available in our local Tesco on Boxing Day this year. And that's the soonest I've known of them. But, you know, Easter's gone. Christmas is gone. Easter comes. And Easter's one of those dates that we mark the rest of the year by. Maybe over at Easter time you were planning who you were going to meet up with, what you were going to do, what you're going to eat for Easter lunch. And we get busy, taken up with Easter. Particularly this year, for those that were involved in the Preston Passion, it was very busy around the Easter time, particularly Good Friday. Last year, I overheard a conversation that went something like this. "While you're in the loft, can you look for Jesus?" Now, this was the loft here. And the reply came, "Yes, where is he?" "He's in the box where we put him last year." And that really struck a chord with me. Is that what we do with Jesus? We put him in a box post-Easter, post-Christmas. And on Easter Sunday morning, many of you that were here, and I'm sure if you were elsewhere, you had the same experience. Everybody was happy. "Happy Easter. He's risen. He's risen indeed." Everybody was full of Easter joy. There was so much hope on Easter morning. But there is still that hope and joy now. But I wonder where it is. I wonder if after Easter Monday, we said, "That's it. That's Easter for another year." On Easter Sunday morning, I'm sure many of you felt full of love and awe and wonder as we worshipped the risen Saviour. So what's changed? Our attitude? Our understanding? Jesus? Easter should have a lasting impact on us. An impact that reaches far beyond Good Friday and Easter Monday. We're going to read just a few verses. I've got four different scripture passages, and we're going to be dipping into different places. But just a few verses to start with from John chapter 10, verses 9 through to 11. It says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus said that he came to give us full life. And in this passage, there are three clues as to what it means to have Jesus in our lives. He's the gate through which we find forgiveness and safety. That there is a thief out there who wants to steal and kill and destroy our lives, but Jesus wants us to have full life. Tells us that Jesus is a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep to bring restoration to them. And this evening we're just going to look at a few people who encountered Jesus and the effect that encounter had on them and how Jesus demonstrated each of these characters to them. So we're going to start with a story where Jesus demonstrated that he was the gate to safety. We're going to read in John chapter 8, verses 1 through to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Wow, what an amazing encounter that woman had with Jesus. He looked at her. Imagine Jesus looking to you and saying those same words. She knew she'd done wrong. In fact, everyone knew that she was a sinner. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He was full of compassion. He said, But I do not condemn you. But he didn't condone her sin either. He acknowledged it with a statement, Go and leave this life of sin. He acknowledged her sin, but he didn't condemn her. We don't know what happened to that lady after this encounter, but I'm sure she left relieved and thankful. She passed through the gate of safety that day, and not just in a spiritual sense. Jesus saved her life. If he hadn't have stepped in there, she would have been stoned to death. This lady had a forgiving encounter with Jesus. Let's think next about how Jesus demonstrated that he could protect us from the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And in our second encounter, we're reading Matthew chapter 9, verses 8 to 26. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come, put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him. and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed in that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. This girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout the region. Two other amazing encounters. This woman had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. She was instantly healed from something that had ruined her life physically, socially, and ceremonially for the last 12 years. And today we maybe don't realise quite how isolated this lady was. She certainly wasn't living a full life. She would have been an outcast. There would have been no ladies' fellowship. There would have been no Sunday worship. There would have been no family gatherings, and there would have been no intimacy. This encounter is an amazing reversal of what should have happened. By touching Jesus, this lady should have made Jesus unclean. But the reverse happened. And we see something that we see time and time again in Scripture. By God's amazing grace, she was made clean. She was made whole. He took her away from the grip of the thief and gave her an opportunity of leading a life, a full life. And this all happened right in the middle of a frantic situation. In Mark, it tells us that a large crowd had gathered and pressed around him. As Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, he was already dealing with one request. And I don't know about you, if somebody asks you one thing and you're on your way to do that, and then somebody intervenes and asks you something else, you get a bit torn. But Jesus remained focused. There was another desperate situation. And he said, "Go away. The girl's not dead." But at that, they laughed at him. Jesus didn't feel the need to justify himself. He was going to let his actions speak for themselves. And in the midst of a most desperate of situations, Jesus arrived with authority. Not only does he tell the people how it's going to be, he tells death and sickness how it's going to be. He tells the thief how it's going to be. Jairus' daughter was healed right there in Jesus' presence. Again, a literally life-changing encounter with Jesus. She was healed and restored to life. And a wonderful little aside there in that story is when the girl was healed and got up, Jesus said, "Give her something to eat." Those little details Jesus cared about. Give her something to eat. I know for many of us, we will always have questions about healing. Why are some healed and some not? We have to be honest and say that healing is a mystery, but it's something that we are told to pray for. So be encouraged, you're not on your own. God hears our prayers and he is faithful. Keep praying for healing. So far we've seen two types of encounters with Jesus. One where he showed himself to be the gate, the way to safety and forgiveness. And one where he showed that he could protect us from the thief who came to steal, kill and destroy. So let's look at our third scene where Jesus demonstrates himself to be the good shepherd. This scene is from the Gospels, comes at a very low time in Peter's life. He'd been told that he would deny Jesus, and yet he said he wouldn't. But he still did, and in the most desperate of situations. As Jesus was going through the most horrendous of events of the crucifixion, Peter couldn't even stand up as one of Jesus' supporters. Jesus has died and overcome death. and Jesus and Peter had already met after the resurrection, but things weren't the same as they were before. And it's to this Peter that Jesus now appears. And we read in John 21:15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" "Yes," he answered, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." What a wonderful, intimate encounter Peter had with Jesus as he was restored. Peter must have felt so wretched when he'd let Jesus down. I'm sure many of you will have known that feeling of forgetting something, letting someone down, disappointing someone, and how bad that feels. So I think magnify that by so many, many times to even get a glimpse of how Peter must have felt. But Jesus, I'm sure, must have felt let down by Peter and disappointed. But yet again, we see his loving grace in action. As he was filled with compassion, he reinstated Peter. Jesus revealed himself as a shepherd, but no ordinary shepherd. In ancient times, it was often the case that the shepherd was a hired hand, and if any danger came along, they couldn't be trusted to hang around. They were gone. As soon as anything threatened, they were gone. And they certainly wouldn't be willing to lay down their life for the sheep. But Jesus tells us he's the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. But more than that, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And in that, he was revealing himself to be God Almighty, the good shepherd. And as he stands now and talks to Peter, he's already demonstrated that he is God, the good shepherd, by dying on the cross, by coming back from the dead and being resurrected. So this encounter for him, for Peter, was one of restoration as well as life changing. But we've seen what a change meeting Jesus brought into the lives of these folks. But what about us? What about us? Has our encounters with Jesus changed us? Can we know these same life-changing experiences that these folks here have had? Well, I believe that the great thing is that Jesus still can and wants to make a difference in all of our lives. He wants us to encounter him in new ways and in lasting ways. There is loving forgiveness from Jesus whenever we turn to him in repentance. Jesus doesn't condone our sin, but he does want to set us free from it. I wonder if there's something that you know you need to seek Jesus for. Seek his forgiveness. Is there something that's laying heavy on your heart? Is there something that's troubling you that you just need to come to Jesus for forgiveness? Accepting Jesus' love and his forgiveness can and should change our lives. How we live today, tomorrow, and eternally. I wonder, do you need healing today? It could be that you're hurting physically or emotionally. We've seen how in just one brief encounter, but one huge step of faith brought healing from Jesus. Jesus is there, the same Jesus, the same power that healed that lady in an instant is here and available for you. Have you drifted away in your relationship with Jesus? Have you denied him, either literally or by your lifestyle? If you're in that place, well, the good news is there's restoration available for you today as well. So if we go back to our thoughts and reflect on Easter, Jesus, the Saviour of the world, the risen, ascended King, kind of challenges not to forget what we focus on at Easter, but ensure that our encounters with Jesus are life-changing, and they have a life-changing impact on us. It should affect us when we encounter Jesus. It should affect us as we mix with other folk. They should see that and how it's affected us. Can we all take this challenge seriously? We can deepen our encounter to Jesus in worship. We can deepen our encounter in service and in our relationships. What will be our response to Jesus as we encounter him? In a moment, we're going to sing, May I Never Lose the wonder of the cross. And maybe as we sing that, just in your heart, you need to come back to the cross. Come back to the joy that you felt on Easter Sunday. Come back to the reality of what we thought about on Good Friday. Come back to Jesus. Seek him as Saviour. Seek his forgiveness. Seek him as healer. Come and ask for his healing. Seek him as one who brings restoration. This could be your time to reflect on all that Jesus has done for you. We're going to sing a couple of songs and then we're going to share in communion. Again, maybe that's a time to just say, God, I need to get right with you. I need to take this time tonight to pray, to ask God for forgiveness, to ask him for a new encounter, a Holy Spirit encounter. Let tonight be a time of repentance and of restoration and renewal. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. Lord, I thank you that the God who these folks encountered is still here, is still available, and is still powerful. And Lord, I thank you that we can come to you tonight and seek your forgiveness. We can come and ask for healing, and we can come and ask for restoration. Holy Spirit, come. Touch our lives. Lord, if you're touching and speaking to one of us, Lord, I pray that you would just keep moving, keep blessing, keep speaking, and just bring each one of us to a new encounter with you. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you accept us. As we've already thought about tonight, you accept us just as we are. So come, come to Jesus tonight. Focus on him. Amen.